Well, welcome to part three of Ecclesia. That's when we get to the great question, what's my part in this wonderful plan that God's got? As I said last week, it's going to look a little bit different this week and through the rest of the month of November. We're going to hear perhaps from some voices you don't normally hear from, and we're going to continue the dialogue and the conversation we're having about what is my part. Rather than just think about it, we're going to talk about it. And so today you're going to hear an inspiring message from Pastor Lori Gerard. She is one of our support pastors. And Lori is as wonderful as an example as I can think of someone who has lived out the truths that she's talking about today. And so listen well, open your heart to receive what she has received from God in the stories of her life, and be encouraged to step up and lean into Jesus and be prepared to play your part, which is walking closely with Jesus and saying yes. So we're so grateful to hear from her today. So let's get ready to go.
Thank you, Pastor Terry, and hello, church. It is great to be here, and I am so excited to share with you today the thoughts that I have regarding the Ecclesia, and really, what is our part? And if you'll notice that we expanded the definition of the church, the Ecclesia. It's not just an assembly of people. It is a called-out group, and it's the body of Christ. So, church, that's you. You are the church, and we all have a role to play. We really do. So we just finished the section on what is God's plan. How has he laid things out for us? And Pastor Derek spoke really clearly about how he has equipped us with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then last week, Pastor Terry, he talked about staying close. And I found that very powerful and challenging. Always stay close, church. So now what? What is my part? What's our part? And in preparing for this, God showed me a really great verse, and it came from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10, and we're going to take a look at that. But before we read it, church, we are going to declare together what this is to us. So grab your Bibles, and let's do this together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who he says I am. I do what he says I can do. I have what he says I can have. I choose to open my heart to receive a word from God that changes my life forever. Amen. So let's take a look at the word at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. And it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you cannot take credit for that. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for doing good things, the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I love how that verse speaks into our identity and it speaks into our purpose. I want to pray for you, church, as we move into listening and receiving from the Lord today. So, Father, thank you for the identity that you have imprinted on us. Thank you for creating us as your masterpiece and letting us know that we have great, great value. Father, I pray that as we listen this morning and as we receive, that each one of us will begin to walk in a new, transformed way. Speak to us about what you have in store. We want to partner with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church, here we go. Identity. He speaks in this verse about our identity, that we're not just a masterpiece, but we have been created in a new way. He's given us something new. We have salvation and we have healing. And there's a reason for that. It's not just so that we can have a great life and a whole life. It is so that we can play our part in being the Ecclesia. And I love how it speaks to the simplicity of our purpose. And this verse shows us how we get to fulfill that So, what's my part? What's your part? It's to do those good things that he planned for us long ago. And it really, I like how that the focus of that really also addresses the big question that the world has. People are always wondering, what's my purpose? I want to know my purpose. Why am I here? And we know he has a call for you. He has an assignment for you. So how do we fulfill that? So I have broken this down into four things, and there's a specific order to this, and it might seem a little counterintuitive, but just go with me. The first thing is that I'm going to challenge you to say yes, to yield, to surrender. And I know that surrender sounds like maybe a weak word, but it really takes a lot of strength to surrender. It feels backwards to say yes first before we know what he's calling us to. But really, that is an unconditional response to Jesus, to say yes before we know what he has called us to. And I love how Pastor Mandela spoke into this a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about submitting. He talked about seeking and surrendering, and it laid a wonderful foundation for us to really jump into this part of what he has called us to. It's a decision that we make, really, to be a world changer, to be a player in the game, to get on the field and not be a fan anymore. Personally, my very first yes to Jesus was when I became a Christian, and I said yes to him. I said, yes, I'm going to follow you. I was 19 years old, and I decided that he would be the Lord of my life. That was my first yes. My second yes was when I said yes to the word go. I didn't really know what that meant or where I would go, but I heard that word, go, and I said yes. And over the next 2 years, I started listening a little better. I learned how to listen. I didn't even know how to hear God's voice. And I began to listen to his call. And I heard that he wanted me to go to Colombia, to Bogota, Colombia, South America. And I said yes. And as I journeyed in getting prepared to leave, by the time I left, the Lord was so gracious. And even though I didn't ask for confirmations, he gave me confirmation after confirmation after confirmation. And when I stepped foot on that plane, I knew without a doubt that I was to go, that that was God's plan for me at that time. And the confirmation did not come with money. That was not part of the confirmation. In fact, I had $80 in my pocket, and I had no support, and I lived for the next 3.5 years by faith. I didn't even know what that was, but I was so, I don't know if I was naive or I was brave. I don't know what it was, maybe a combination of both, but I went, and the Lord did some amazing things. It was actually a very dangerous time in Colombia when I was there. Pablo Escobar, the major Colombian drug lord, was creating all sorts of turmoil in that country. They were bombing the Palace of Justice. The guerrilla groups were involved. It was a very dangerous time while I was there. But what we did there is we worked with the street kids and we worked with the people in the invasion areas. And when I say invasion areas, those are the pieces of land that people just go and they invade the land. They make a house out of cardboard or tin or blocks that they find, and they have dirt floors. And those are the people that we worked with. We had wonderful opportunities to share the gospel. They're very open. And we just did practical things, some very small things, some larger projects. But we just did the things that God had called us to do while we were there. And it was the most spectacular time, really, of my faith journey. I learned so much, and I would never trade that for the world. I want to encourage you to start with saying yes, a simple, faith-filled yes. Who knows, you might be on the edge of the greatest adventure of your life. Before we go further, I want to address one little thing, and it's something I call the 100% fallacy. And that's the the situation that some of us have found ourselves in, where we say something like, oh, yeah, I only do things 100%. So because I don't have time for that and I can't do it 100%, I'm just going to say no. And I want to challenge you, church, because I have been challenged myself. It is one of four things when we say that. It is either the fear of failure, it is the fear of success, and that is, the fear of success means that we're afraid that it'll actually go well, and then it's going to require more, and that's what we're afraid of. It could also be because we're just being selfish. We're self-absorbed, and it's something we just don't want to do. Or it could be it's not your call, and it's okay. It's okay just to say no. We don't have to use the 100% fallacy as an excuse for not doing something. It's okay, church, to test the waters. We don't jump in with both feet. You can test the waters. And you know what? Mistakes are okay. So number two is, let's ask for an assignment. We've said yes. Let's ask, what is it that you want me to do? And I want to challenge you to keep asking, to be nimble. I have to say that when the COVID pandemic hit, I was not that nimble. I wasn't sure, what do I do with what I heard God say at the beginning of the year? And then all of a sudden now I can't do that. And it took me probably a good 4 to 5 months to really start dreaming again and figuring out what it was, what's the next assignment that he has for me. But I'm starting to hear him now, and I'm very excited about what he has in the future. Your assignment, your call might be to help others fulfill their assignment. It might be something that you start. It might be small, momentary things. There's power in doing things together. So maybe you ask, who am I to do this with? That's another question that we can ask. This isn't a serve the church thing. This is a serve Jesus thing. I want to challenge you, church, to also be aware of that little tap on the shoulder. As we're out and about and we're just doing life, whether it's calling somebody or praying for a specific social issue or mentoring someone, it's okay to have a full life. Full is good. Another thing I want to speak to that can be challenging is sometimes we get reluctant assignments, and I've had a lot of those actually. I have to check my attitude sometimes, and the Lord changes me. He totally flips my attitude for those reluctant assignments, but it's okay to step into the reluctant ones too. About 20 years, I had a reluctant assignment. I was very self-absorbed with my life, and I was living for myself and achievements and business success, and that's what I was focused on. And I was downtown driving home with my husband at the time, and he wanted us to stop at the hospital and go visit a friend of ours, Michael. And I didn't want to do that. I had a workout planned, and we had an argument in the car because I wanted to get to my workout and he wanted to stop at the hospital, and I really didn't want to do it. He won, and we went to the hospital, and we walk into Michael's room, and he's sleeping. And I notice there's a Bible on his bedstand. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That kind of gave me a little bit of encouragement because he wasn't someone who knew the Lord. And he woke up and he says to us, I'm so glad you're here. When I got up this morning, I was so desperate. I went to the chapel and I got on my knees and I prayed, God, I need a sign. And I went to bed and I fell asleep and I woke up and you're here. So you're the answer. And I knew, even though I was really far away from God, I had not walked with him for years, I knew that I needed to lead Michael to the Lord. And I did that in the most awkward way, but he became a Christian. And for the next 6 months of his life, before he passed away, in his personal life, he thrived in his relationship with Jesus. Our third point is to listen. We need to listen. We need to make space for silence and allow him to speak to you. Actually, silence is a weapon. It's a weapon against distraction. And for me, I find that so easily the cares of this world and the noise and the busyness prevent me often from being fruitful. For me, it's a lot of this, the phone. And I want to challenge you to put down the phone, pick up the word. Put down the phone and pick up the word. And can I say, maybe stop talking. Just let's spend some time practicing delighting in Him. Just starting even with just 1 minute, 2 minutes, and then increasing that to 5 minutes, and just stop the talking and allow Him to speak. Prayer is not just praying for other things, it's also listening. The greatest way to listen to Him is to read His Word. When we are reading or listening to the Word, that is allowing God to speak to us. He also speaks to our imagination. He speaks in our dreams. There's a lot of different ways that He speaks to us. So be open and allow Him to stretch you, to speak into your life in different ways. Psalm 73:24 says that you guide me with counsel and you lead me to a glorious destiny. And I want you to receive that, church. He's leading you to a glorious destiny. I also want to deal a little bit with regret or guilt. I've had so many experiences and having to work through regret, especially those years, those 7-8 years where I was not close to the Lord and I felt like I missed out and am I too old now to do those things that I heard God say to me? And I want to say to you that God's plan is redemptive and it's grace-filled. And if you think that opportunity has passed you by, no way, it has not passed you by. He just finds a way to figure it out and He puts pieces together and He's redemptive with your story. I love this saying and it's something that I have grasped and I am beginning to live it out. And it's this: you are the perfect age for what God has for you right now. Whether you're 9 or 81. You are the perfect age for what God has for you right now. So let's get going. Let's start fresh and keep pressing forward. Church, be faithful in those little things and let's take some bold steps together. Let's break that 100% lie and let's do something good. Let's do something great. The fourth thing is action. Now, I guess we can also say obedience, but it's action to receive and grasp the assignment and do something. Maybe do some hard things, but do is an action word. It means to achieve or complete something. And God's vision is that 100% of His church is engaged. He wants to tell you what they are, what His plans for you are, and how to get it done. My friend Doris Wong, she's been stuck at home, very, very stuck at home during this COVID season. And she had some deep, deep burdens that were on her heart that she kept talking to me about. And she said, "Lori, I'm so concerned about the people that are dealing with depression and anxiety and suicide. And it's a really hard time for them right now." And she was so passionate about this. She just kept talking to God and she just received this little assignment and she ended up being able to gather a team together and create a new ministry that we're calling Hope Calls, where we're available. We have a team of very compassionate people who are prepared to call people who need some hope, who need some encouragement. The bonus, I think, to some of this is that serving is a weapon against discouragement and discontent. We were not meant to live always consuming. And when we're stuck in those little inner spirals and we decide to serve, to look outside ourselves, what it does is it breaks that spiral and miraculous things happen. I want to encourage you also, I know so many of you are already living out this verse and you inspire me. I want to encourage you with this word from Matthew. It's Matthew 5, 14 through 16. And it says this: "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In that same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." One of the reasons, the main reason for doing good things, is so that we make him famous, so that people look to him. They begin to pursue God. They begin to notice him. That is why he calls us to do good things and to let those things shine. I want to share a little follow-up to my Columbia years that really just confirms how powerful doing little, small, good things is. Last year, when I was just before I was on my way to Costa Rica with the women's missions team, I had someone reach out to me on Facebook, and it was one of the teenagers from when I was in Colombia that I had mentored, that I had kind of spent some extra time with her, one-on-one time, creating a personal relationship. And so she reached out to me last year. Now, this is 33 years later. She's not a teenager anymore. So she reaches out to me and, you know, "Do you remember me?" And honestly, it took me a little while to remember, but as she began to speak to me about the things that she remembered, it all just came back. And the things that were important to her were things like, "You made cookies with me. You had me into your home and you made cookies with me." This was a girl who lived with her family in like a one or two room place that had a dirt floor and tin sides and roof. And she said, "You did a shower for my nephew and you spent time with me." And what that did is that showed me that I had value, and it encouraged me to go on to go to university. She ended up becoming a nurse. She moved to Costa Rica, and she is working in San Jose at the Children's Hospital. She is head of the neonatal unit, and she said, "It's because of those tiny good things that you did that showed me that I have value, that made me go on and do what I'm doing today." She said, "My sister is still living in that same impoverished area in a house with a dirt floor." So I want to encourage you, church. When we say yes and we step into doing something, when we follow through, we are fitting in with his plan. And we give him lots to work with, and he's making it all work out. His plan is redemptive, and he rearranges and he fixes things. He's got this, church. I'm going to close with this. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this: "So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless." Be encouraged, church. So let's say yes, and let's step together faithfully into that unknown space. Let's do it together. I'm going to give you, or we're going to give you, a gift of time right now, and with a closing song, an opportunity for you to worship the Lord and see what happens, to see what he says. Maybe you are feeling like you're a little out of alignment, and this is your time to say yes to Jesus. If that's what this moment is, we want you to tell us. Let us know that you said yes to Jesus. It might be that you're ready to say yes to getting an assignment. So I want to challenge you just to be ready. You might get that right now while we're worshiping and delighting in him, but also you will get those on a daily basis. Be expectant, church. So let's just be quiet and let's listen. Maybe you don't even sing the song. Maybe you just listen. Make some space to hear his voice. We're going to give you a couple minutes to do that right now for you to delight in him.
What a great word that was today. How inspiring is that? As I said earlier, we want to make sure that we don't just listen and not do anything with what we've heard. James 1:22 says, don't just be hearers, be doers of what you've heard. And so now you might want to turn to someone, either in church or at home, in a home church, whatever that looks like for you, and continue the discussion. What's my part? Am I saying yes to Jesus? How might I go about those things? This is a challenge right now that I am kind of stumbling over in saying yes to Jesus. Take time to pray for one another, and let's enjoy the fruit of an entire people group saying yes to Jesus. God bless you on your journey to be the ecclesia.